It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, victors!
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions.
Hey, I'm your host, Wakunja Hare, and this is a Native show about Native issues, and Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And I just want to give a shout-out to Wendy for being back on the show with us, because the last couple days, and especially yesterday without you, I was not doing well.
Well, you know what, Robert? It's nice to be needed, so thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
There'll be something a little extra in your envelope during Christmas. Okay. I appreciate that. So, hey, you know, now we're back to normal, but we got a couple guests on here. And again, you know, it's Bob Blake from Red Lake.
That's right.
Your guest.
I have a guest today during my segment. He's going to be Chris Knopp, and he's going to be from the Friends of the Boundary Waters Wilderness. Mm-hmm. It's an organization that's fighting against the copper and sulfide mines.
Polymer.
Yeah.
See, so I got the pea popper.
We'll be talking to Chris later on in my segment, the last segment.
And yeah. Ogama with the news, she has a guest too that she's going to introduce. Ogama, who do you have?
Yeah, so hi everybody, it's Ogama here. I'm actually going to have on my Uncle Marty, Marty Cobanace, who is a former organizer for the Indigenous Environmental Network and also Red Lake enrollee, just like myself. And he's the reason that you guys are all able to hear me on air, so I'm pretty excited to have him on tonight.
Oh, that's awesome. So, hey, with no further ado, let's go to Ogama with the news. And we want to give a special shout out to Brett, because we have no hissing and humming tonight. So
I won't be hissing.
If you hear any hissing and humming, it's coming from me. So go ahead, Ogama, with the news.
Yeah, so bonjour, everybody. I just want to make sure that everybody knows today marks the 30th anniversary of one of the worst inland oil spills in history, and it happened in Minnesota, in Grand Rapids. So per the GNU Collective, there were peaceful protesters that were cited and one that was arrested. So there was about 70 protesters cited in Grand Rapids today, doing what they were calling the Memory March. So the GNU Collective reports there was about 75 water protectors there, but Indian Country Today had said that there was more than 150 total, so somewhere in between those two numbers. And it appears that the water protectors had formed a human chain to block part of the road. And several of them were cited and basically told to leave, and all they were trying to do was draw attention to the site of this horrible thing that happened in Minnesota that was caused by Enbridge. So on March 3rd in 1991, the original Line 3 pipeline had ruptured, and it spilled 1.7 million gallons of oil into the Prairie River, or near the Prairie River in Grand Rapids. And the only reason that oil did not reach the Mississippi was because the Prairie River happened to be frozen solid that year. That spill could have been a lot worse. And for those of you who know your history, you know, Kalamazoo in Michigan experienced a spill that was really comparable in size. And the Kalamazoo River is still not completely and may never completely come back from that. So that's something that's really important to remember of when we're talking about the Stop Line 3, that there's a lot of history and a lot of things that have happened that we're trying to prevent from happening again, because history does indeed repeat itself. Right, Robert?
Right on. I mean, that's. I just have to say, too, that every time Ogama said, that's right, yesterday, I went right on, and that's all I could say. So we really missed you, Wendy. And it's crazy, though, that 30 years and still we haven't learned a lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You would think that they would have figured it out by now, you know, Minnesota government and people, that this is a terrible idea, but, you know, that and that excitement that there might be some jobs, you know.
It all comes down to the money.
Exactly, exactly. So speaking of GNU Collective, there is a need on the ground in Minnesota for movement lawyers, criminal defense, and funding to pay for representation for 130-plus water protectors, including Tara Hauska. The Center for Protest and Law Litigation has stepped up to support their fight and run a 501c3 to help pay for Line 3 lawyers. So if you know anybody who's a lawyer or can help with any sort of criminal defense or legal representation, please reach out to any of the amazing organizations. But GNU Collective is specifically one that is really good to get involved with. Tara Hauska herself was trained in law. So you can get in touch with her directly or GNU Collective, as they've organized a lot of these direct action events. If you're listening to this and you know law, Line 3 needs you. Please come. Moving forward here, at the end of the week, there's going to be the 18th annual Great Lakes Indigenous Farming Conference combined with the 4th annual Indigenous Hemp Conference. And that's going to be March 5th through 7th, starting at 8:30 a.m. and ending at 12:30 p.m. on March 7th. It's a three-day conference, that is jam-packed with knowledgeable and passionate presenters. And it's going to be talking about Indigenous farming as well as Indigenous hemp, which we all know might be able to save the world. So it is $100 to go to the full conference, and you can sign up and register for the event by reaching out to the White Earth Land Recovery Project or the Anishinaabe Agriculture Institute on Facebook and sign up for that event. That sounds really cool.
Wow, it does.
Mm-hmm. Also coming up this week on Friday, in preparation for the Derek Chauvin trial that Matt McNeil mentioned beforehand, I believe it's coming up on March 9th is the first part of the litigation. There is martial training that's available through the CARE MN and Communities United Against Police Brutality. So that's going to be this Friday at 7 p.m. It is an online Zoom training and to train you on your roles, your purpose, and answer any questions you have about being a marshal for helping to keep communities safe. Because we all know after the uprising last summer, we can't really trust our police force, right?
Most of them. I mean, I should say it the other way around. Some of them. We can't trust.
Some of them. Yeah, okay.
You know, a few bad eggs really mess it up. We do need, you know, support. We need to support our police, but when these bad ones come up, we need to convict.
Yeah, they just need more training, and yeah, that's another whole show.
Right.
That is a whole other show. I agree. And the last thing I just wanted to touch on is that there's a doctor in Alberta. Who worked with the Fort Chipewyan, sorry if I butchered that, so they're a remote First Nations community in Alberta, and his name's Dr. John O'Connor, and he sounded alarms in 2006 about high levels of cancer in communities downstream from the Alberta tar sands, and he started a 15-year battle against governments who basically wanted to deny the problem. He was initially fired and cleared of any wrongdoing in 2009, and then abruptly fired again in 2015. And he's still able to work as a doctor and continues to push for the government to act on the problem. But basically, to this day, there's been no comprehensive health study to prove whether or not tar sands oil are causing higher levels of cancer. That study just hasn't been done. So you have these people living downstream from tar sands oil and from other places natural gas pipelines and those kinds of things that do experience illnesses of certain types at a higher rate. And there's been no studies done around that. And I think that's another thing. Like Wendy said, it's all about the money, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And sounds like we need to get Erin Broderick. What's her name? Erin Broderick? She was Yes. I'm sorry. I said it wrong. What's her name?
Brockovich.
She's
whole
the
show. Hey, yeah. Ogama Pinigigi for all you do, Wendy, welcome back. We really needed you. This has gone smooth so far. We have Uncle Marty up next, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
I am in
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
When you're trying to stay safe, you want the best protection possible. And when it comes to PPE, that means Lutema. Made in the USA with the highest quality materials, Lutema has mask sizes for all. Lutema masks pass ASTM Level 3 and NIOSH efficiency standards and come in a wide variety of colors and types, including M95i. Get your American-made face mask at Lutema.com. That's L-U-T-E-M-A.com. And get 40% off your first purchase single item with promo code radio at Lutema.com.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Wow. Well, let's bring back Ogama here, and so she can introduce her uncle, which is really awesome. We're going to have Marty on. Go ahead, Ogama.
Yeah. So, hi, everybody. My uncle, or I guess you would call him uncle in Native culture and ways, Marty Kobanes, is a former organizer for the Indigenous Environmental Network, and he's been working on Line 3 issues probably almost as long as I've been alive. So we know the largest inland oil spills 30 years ago. So take that into consideration, everybody. But I'm super proud and happy to have him on tonight. And he's definitely the reason that I'm here and that I'm as vocal and active in this issue as I am. So I'm really happy to have him on tonight.
Ahoo, Marty, are you out there?
Hello. Thank you for that awesome introduction there, young lady.
Yeah, that is awesome. She's I hope you're really proud of her because she does great work, and she's a great water protector too, and she does great work for our show. So welcome, Marty. I want to just talk to you a little bit about maybe your history with pipelines and what you've been doing these past 30-some years fighting and being a water protector.
Well, I don't know if I'd classify myself as a water protector. I always called myself just a plain old pipeline fighter. I was doing it before it was cool, so it's a lot different now than what it was. I mean, I've been fighting for pipelines. In my first run in with pipelines was 1979, when I grew up in Pinewood, Minnesota, and there's the Bemidji spill is what they call it. There's 450,000 gallons of oil spilled in the rupture, and they cleaned up most of it, but 100,000 gallons is still in the ground, and they do testing there. So that was my first experience with pipelines.
Wow, that's terrible. Wendy and I are just shaking our heads when we heard that.
So the oil is still in the ground since 1979. Is that what I heard you say?
Yes, it exploded. Actually, if you ever have talked with Willis at Friends of the Headwaters, he was actually working for the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and had to go observe that site the day that it happened. So he actually has firsthand knowledge of everything that went on in that site. So it's been pretty interesting. But yeah, there's basically, they said the railroad tracks ran right next to it, and they said that they couldn't go underneath the railroad tracks to extract the oil because it would cause problems for the trains, which isn't true. But when you talk to people that work on the railroads, they work underneath railroads all the time, and they have certain safety protocols that they have to do when there's integrity digs or anything else like that underneath the pipe or underneath the train tracks. So it would have been fine, but they decided to come up with a reason not to.
So this is amazing, and I know I hear a lot of stories from Ogemon or Sister about how you guys were, I believe in 2015, camping out in the cold here and protecting the water. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That was due to Enbridge never having an easement on the Red Lake land, 8 acres of Red Lake land in Leonard, Minnesota. It was when it first went through, the pipelines first went through in the 1950s, the Bureau of Land or Bureau of Indian Affairs signed off on it. The Red Lake Reservation never signed off on it, and contracts with pipeline companies can only be for 20 years through reservation lands, and otherwise they have to keep on renewing them. Mm-hmm. And there is never a renewal. Red Lake has never signed an agreement with Enbridge or, at the time, Lakehead Pipeline. So that is why we started protesting up there to make light of it and to show that they were on their trespassing. And since then, there's been some recent developments with signings and unsignings and re-signings of contracts. But as of right now, the contract is signed, but is not legal because not all of the demands have been met by the Red Lake Band.
So what is your take, I guess, since 1979, I guess, and up to this day, what is your take on the militarization of our police and how these billion-dollar companies have their own police force?
Well, it's kind of interesting. You know, back when most other pipelines went through, no one ever said anything until 2009 when we were fighting the Line 67, also known as the Alberta Clipper, and Line 13, the Southern Lights, billion line that went through Catholic and Fond du Lac and stuff like that, is that there's never really any resistance. And even that was considered a light resistance at the time. We did a lot of court stuff, but locally. Since then, I mean, you've gone into the Keystone XL, where that's been a many-year battle. To when the Code Access Line went in and the protests went on out there. That was just, I saw it as completely crazy as to what they would do. And I'm actually shocked that Enbridge is dealing with it. I mean, they're doing it differently than what the Dakota Access Line was. Mm-hmm. I actually figured, like a lot of other places that they've done, they've just kind of let it slide and not say anything and not try to create a big issue. Mm-hmm. But this time, you know, now they are, and I'm rather shocked that the police are as used as they are.
Yeah, that happened really in Dakota Access Pipeline, and that's why we supported a new Hennepin County Sheriff down here, because the old one sent his goons to Standing Rock, and we have video and pictures and things of them beating up a peaceful water protectors. And so we're trying to support politicians and sheriffs that are more neutral and more worried about their own county and their own people, because God knows Minneapolis has a lot of issues. Yeah, this is really amazing to hear your experience. I
have a question. I'm always curious, what made you get started in this? Like, what was the light bulb that went off that wanted you to get involved in this?
Well, when I was working for IEN, Indigenous Environmental Network, here in Bemidji, and I was rather kind of thrown into it by my boss at the time. it was go to a meeting. I told him there's a meeting, a public meeting going on. in Cass Lake, and he said, well, give me some information. So I got information off the internet, gave him 45 pages, and at it started at 6, I believe, and at 4:30 he came into my office and said, you need to go to this, so you need to read all this information and be and represent us. So that was how I really got thrown into it. From there, I've gone into different areas of the Keystone XL, the Imperial Heavy Haul out in Montana. That was where they were bringing heavy, big equipment up from South Korea to go up to extraction equipment to go up to Alberta to take out the tar sands. So, and that was going up a narrow molten villa or trail, basically, along the river. And so that was actually stopped, and they had to do find a different way, but we did stop them from going up that river.
Wow. Hey, we got only a couple minutes left here. Ogama, do you have a question you want to ask your uncle before we get going here?
I don't know if I have a question right away, but I definitely want to say, Marty, every time I talk to you, I learn something else, which is why you are so inherently valuable. It's every time I talk to you, there's something else that you know that I didn't even have any idea happened, or there's another pipeline or environmental fight that I didn't know about yet or haven't gotten that much information on. So I always appreciate your input and all the help you give me in the background and answering my questions. And I guess the only question I have is, you know, how are you feeling about this going forward? You know, do you think we're going to be fighting these for another 30 years?
Oh, that's a hard question to answer. Yes, I think we are. When you start looking at lines 1 and 2 that were built in the 1940s and 50s, they're a 20-inch pipeline and a 24-inch pipeline. Those are older than line 3. Granted, Line 3 is made with terrible pipe, and that's why it's in such bad shape. But Lines 1 and 2 are so scary, like in Cass Lake, and they didn't have the machinery to do it properly like they do now, you know, where there's laws where they had to be buried 3 feet underneath the ground and stuff like that. In Cass Lake, they're buried, they're just laid at the bottom of Cass Lake. And those pipes have been hit by motors and everything else like that in this time. So that one's really scary. So I think we'll be fighting. There'll be pipelines going on. But the only bright part is that we've hit peak oil in consumption in the U.S. So our oil consumption should be going down. So hopefully we won't be needing any more pipelines, new replacement pipelines, I should say, in the future.
Well, Marty, I want to really appreciate you coming on and sharing your experience. And there's many things you said tonight that I did not know. So, I thank you and Pini Gigi for, you know, letting our audience know what's happened and what's happening. So, I really appreciate you being on.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after.
With Bob Blake. Stay with us.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
The University of Minnesota Duluth Department of American Indian Studies is accepting applications for their Master of Tribal Administration and Governance. This degree is designed to develop the knowledge needed to work as an administrator in tribal government. Plus, you'll learn about the principles of sovereignty, ethics, law, budgets, and leadership. And you can take all the courses online. To apply for the Fall 2021 Master of Tribal Administration and Governance at Minnesota Duluth, visit umdmtag.org. That's umdmtag.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
You've heard the screamers, you've heard the shouters. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 950.
By now, you probably know that Zero Res is the Twin Cities' number one carpet cleaner. But Zero Res also does a lot more than just carpet cleaning. They also clean tile and grout. Your tiles can get dirty from grout. Traditional everyday tile cleaning products simply don't provide a total clean solution. They often tend to move soil around from one place to another on your floor surface. And when your grout becomes darker over time, dirt has been accumulating and becomes a fertile ground for bacterial growth. So stop scrubbing your floors and let Zero Res clean your tile and grout with their patented powered water. It cleans using safe but high pressure to eliminate soil and restore your grout's color. The dirt and residue is removed, leaving a brand new and fresh appearance to your floors and grout. With the removal of residues that tend to attract dirt, your floors and tile will stay cleaner for longer. Learn more about the other ways Zero Res can help your home stay fresh and clean by visiting ZeroResMinnesota.com. And book your tile and grout cleaning appointment by calling 952-ZERO-RES or going to ZeroResMinnesota.com.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies overnight with a low around 27, Thursday sunny with a high near 43, Friday sunny with a high near 42, and Saturday sunny with a high around 47. Did you know that learning a musical instrument as an adult is good for your brain and can even help with memory issues? The best part is it's even fun. Even if you've never played an instrument, School of Rock Eden Prairie will have you playing songs in a month. Get started today and visit EdenPrairie.SchoolOfRock.com. That's EdenPrairie.SchoolOfRock.com.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You could call them at 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions.
Hey, awesome, Reed. Hey, it's Wednesday, so it's the Solar News with Solar Bear today, mm-hmm. and we have Robert Blake representing Solar Bear. Welcome, Robert.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. Pretty good. Beautiful day today. A good day to put up some solar on the roof and, you know.
Yeah, man, the sun is shining. And you know, Robert, that, you know, there's nothing more like steady, right, or more expected in life than there's death and taxes, right?
Yep.
And every Wednesday night, the Solar News with the Solar Bear. We've got to add that.
To the
third thing that people can always expect in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Well, and then I want you to give a shout out to Chicago and Madison because you always make the best of. So
Chicago. Hey, you know, that's exciting though, right? I mean, we got to go. I mean, that's like, Robert, you are getting big time here, man. Yeah, I still think it's that national attention you got when you were on national TV just recently.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I thought, well, you know, that's kind of why I haven't been returning your calls because I'm a little special here and I have to have maybe my assistant or somebody call you back, you know, but hey.
Absolutely.
I'm proud of my humility, and I'll tell you about it here for the next 10 minutes.
So I got a couple of stories for the crowd out there today. And the first story is coming to us from Electrotech. And what they do is they monitor, like, a lot of the stuff that happens around renewable energy, you know, electrifying, like, you know, the country, right, the world. Well, anyways, they did a really cool study. And what happened, Robert, was they found out that, you know, because we always hear about mining for electric car batteries and, you know, are bad for the environment and everything. And this is what the fuel industry tells us, right? Well, they did their own independent study, and they found out that mining for electric car batteries are 100 times better than petroleum car emission cycles.
Wow.
So when they did the cost of use, when they did the cost of charging, running the vehicle, they took into account, you know, putting gas in your vehicle, you know, everything that goes along, that's the maintenance, blah, 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 right? Well, owning an electric vehicle, it comes up a lot cheaper than having a gas powered vehicle. So I just think that that's really interesting, because you hear a lot in the news right now about why electric vehicles are bad and, you know, mining is terrible and, you know, and all that other stuff. So I think people can feel very safe to go out and, you know, and purchase if they wanted to. Now, electric vehicles, we're going to have more electric vehicles coming online. General Motors, Ford, a lot of these places are going to be doing it very shortly. So, you know, feel confident that you can go out and do this, people, because it's really going to be good for the environment. And I think this is a great study. And you can find this on Electrek, ELECTREK.com. So, wonderful study out there.
Absolutely. And you know, what's really exciting, as you were talking, I'm thinking, man, the future is here. Come on. Now, we just have to step through that door, right?
Yeah, absolutely, right? It's the fossil fuel industry. It's their lobbyists. It's them. Like, what did you see that senator out in Montana who was against Deb Haaland's nomination? He's received like a couple of million dollars in like fossil fuel money. Like, you know, I mean, trust me, everyone, if our politicians would just get their out of the pockets of the fossil fuel industry, we'd be on our way now. So,
right. Yeah. And we talk about it, Robert, is that, you know, during Roosevelt's first term, the New Deal, put people to work. I mean, there was soup lines and unemployment and the Depression and the Dust Bowl and all these things. And he put them to work with roads and infrastructure. And that's what we have to do now.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, what is it? History doesn't repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme. And what else does Bob Dylan's saying? You know, we've got criminals making the laws and politicians sitting behind jail, you know, sitting in jail. You know what I mean? It's the truth, right? So, you know, Bob Dylan and I don't know where that other saying came from, though. Okay, but I got another really cool story.
Let's hear it.
The next story is about the state of Iowa. And it came down to this. There was a study done, and it was talking about public buildings and school districts, right? Iowa could save $375 million through solar projects, the whole entire state, right? And it came down to the school districts, the government's school districts saved on an average of $26,475 a year on energy because of the solar. That would figure out to be $716,473 over the life of a solar installation on these individual buildings that they're putting solar on. So, I mean, go Iowa, right? Like, they're doing it. And I think this is an incredible statistic, because if their state government could save $375 million through doing solar projects on public buildings, why couldn't the state of Minnesota do the same thing?
Right, exactly. Right, Wendy?
Hey, I'm going to be talking to Dave Pinto and Aaron Murphy next week. I'll mention it.
Yeah, no. I think
people have to talk to their state legislators and tell them what they want.
Wendy, you are so correct. Like, you know, we need to be able to speak to our politicians. They are there to represent us. Okay, everyone, you need to talk to your politician. You need to talk to your representative. You know, you need to get inside their head and tell them that, you know, you want clean energy and you want to be able to save money. And so, you know, this is just makes good sense for government, for our pocketbooks and for our budget. So, you know, that's the way I see it. Next story, though, Robert, this is one of the good stories that came out this last week. We hit a clean energy milestone this last week. Renewables pulled ahead of coal in 2020. Wow. Low cost of wind and solar power helped renewables pass coal in electricity generation. Gas, natural gas remains the leader, but it's slowly being caught up to by renewable energy. Isn't that incredible?
That is so incredible, Wendy.
Yeah, good.
I am so happy, and maybe in my lifetime we really can see these great Solar Bear solar farms on tribal property all over the United States, all over Turtle Island. I'm just stoked about the future, especially when we talk to Solar Bear.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and what's really going to be the catalyst, right, for when renewable energy passes gas, right, natural gas generation for our electricity, is exactly when we're able to partner the renewable energy with the storage, okay, with the batteries, right? Like, now we're talking that we're going to pass natural gas. And people, I'm telling you right now, that is coming fast, like really fast. Like, the technology that is happening right now is just tremendous, and it's just really, really super exciting. So my last story, and this kind of goes on to the story before, but this is from the Weather Network. I like to read the Weather Network because, you know, I mean,
you're an old person. You like to sit home and read the Weather Network.
I know. What happened to me? I used to be so cool. I read the Weather Network. This is how much of a geek I am. I'm such a nerd when it comes to energy and to, like, you know, solar and, oh boy, you consumed my life, Robert. But anyways, this is one of the coolest stories that I've seen out of the Weather Network. And yes, the Weather Network is boring, but 100% renewable energy could power the world by 2030. These are what the experts are saying at the Weather Network. And I've never seen a story like this, Robert, come out of the Weather Network.
I could still be alive in 2030. That's really exciting.
How old will you be?
I'm just saying, Robert. 69. Like,
you'll still be young. Okay.
And I'm telling you guys, like, it's incredible that this story is in the Weather Network, because now the Weather Network is saying we need to go renewable energy. Exactly. And so I just think that's so cool, because they're so they're so bipartisan, and they don't like to take sides because they want to keep their funding coming in. But right. I mean, they're putting this out there like as one of their major stories, and I think it's incredible. And I just think the public needs to hear this, and we just need to start moving in this direction. So if the experts are now talking about this and they're just saying it plain out, we got to do it. So those are my four stories, everyone.
Wow, that's awesome. Hey, before we get going here, we only got about a minute or so, Robert. I just got to tell you, Wendy tells me the weather every day. I think she's a weather geek.
I love the weather. I love watching the Weather Channel and learning about all the clouds and the low pressure and the...
I'm trying to figure out how we can get a sponsored section with the weather here for Wendy, you know.
Me too. I think it's so interesting. So hopefully there's a lot of geeks.
Paul Douglas, he's the guy. He's the like big time money guy too.
He's always said that he'd come on my show no problem. I've talked to him before because he spoke. I think his show is at the same time as ours, though. That's the problem. Yeah. But I'd have to pre-record him. But he was down at the PUC and spoke on behalf of clean energy and climate. It was very powerful. I think it was two summers ago now, because everything's a blur because of COVID. It was two summers ago that I met him and say, "Hey, here's my card. I got a radio show." And he goes, "I'll come on anytime and talk about this."
Well, I mean, you are national now, so I mean, you were on like the national news and everybody. Hey, hey, did you get a lot of attention off of that? That's pretty cool.
A lot of people sent me some information. And you know, it was funny, is was played during our show, so my phone was kind of blown up, going, "Hey, I just saw you on PBS," and I'm going, "On what?"
Well, thank you, Robert. That is the Solar Bear. That is the Solar News with the Solar Bear. And once again, we'll see you next week.
Right on, right on. And I wouldn't be this big if we didn't go to Iowa and do the presidential thing. And so I thank you for being my key grip and co-host down there.
But the best boy. I was handing out all your T-shirts.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in another show. Peeny Geegee, this has been the Solar News with Solar Bear, and that was Robert Blake of Solar Bear. And this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back. Wendy, who's up next?
Who's up next is Chris Knopp from Friends of the Boundary Waters Wilderness. We'll be talking to Chris.
Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
In the Army National Guard, soldiers serve part-time and close to home.
My community means everything to me. It helps shape me into who I am today and is where I choose to raise my own family. That's why I joined the Army National Guard. I'm proud of where I'm from, and as a soldier, I get to give back to the people that helped me succeed. The education benefits I got from serving helped me get my degree and jumpstart my career. The training and leadership skills I've gained from the Army National Guard help me every day when I teach young people, help my neighbors, and look out for my community. I know that when my neighbors need us the most, my fellow soldiers and I will be ready. My family loves it here, and my part-time service means we get to stay here.
Serve part-time in the community you live in as a proud member of the Army National Guard. Talk to your local recruiter or visit NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
The University of Minnesota Duluth Department of American Indian Studies is accepting applications for their Master of Tribal Administration and Governance. This degree is designed to develop the knowledge needed to work as an administrator in tribal government. Plus, you'll learn about the principles of sovereignty, ethics, law, budgets, and leadership. And you can take all the courses online. To apply for the Fall 2021 Master of Tribal Administration and Governance at Minnesota Duluth, visit umdmtag.org. That's umdmtag.org.
Anine, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Alusa Nation.
Back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. We always howl during that. I'm excited today because you know what? I didn't have to come up with a segment because I have a special guest today, and his name is Chris Knopp, and he's from Friends of the Boundary Waters Wilderness. It's an organization. And hi, Chris. Can you tell us about the organization you're with?
Sure. Good evening, Wendy. Thank you so much for having me here. Friends of the Boundary Waters Wilderness has been leading the fight to protect the boundary waters for over 40 years. Our work today focuses on three areas, wilderness, people, and community. For the wilderness, right now we are leading the fight to protect the boundary waters in Lake Superior from two proposed copper sulfide mines, Polymet and Twin Metals. For people, we have a program, No Boundaries to the Boundary Waters, where we connect students of all backgrounds to the boundary waters through classroom education, online programs, and scholarships for week-long wilderness canoe trips into the boundary waters. And then finally, for community, we understand that Ely, Grand Marais, and the other communities that are gateways to the Boundary Waters need to prosper in order for the wilderness to be protected. So we support efforts such as expanding rural broadband service to so that those communities can be economically prosperous and viable without depending upon things such as copper sulfide mines.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah, can you give us just a brief overview of the negative effects of copper and sulfide mines?
Sure. Copper sulfide mining is the most polluting, most toxic industry in our country. There are two mines that are proposed up in the Arrowhead. One is called Twin Metals and the other is PolyMet. PolyMet is much further along the permitting process. Twin Metals is just south of Ely, right at the edge of the Boundary Waters. PolyMet is closer to Babbitt, and it would affect primarily the Lake Superior watershed. So these two mines would affect all of the Boundary Waters area and Lake Superior. And so what you have in these mines, you have a very, very low-grade ore. So you have about 0.4% copper and nickel in the ore. So what that means is that you create over 99% waste. So you're literally creating mountains of waste in order to get a little bit of copper and nickel. And how this is different than the mining that has been traditionally done in Minnesota is that when you take that copper out, you actually exposed sulfur that's in the ore to air and water, and you create sulfuric acid. So you create battery acid as part of this when that ore is exposed to air and water. And so for PolyMet, there would be a 900 acre lake created of toxic wastewater, and it would be held back by an earthen dam about as tall as the Statue of Liberty. And 2 years ago, Wendy, a similar dam in Brazil collapsed using the same technology and was certified by the engineer that was the engineer for PolyMet, and it destroyed. It killed over 250 people and destroyed miles of the waterway down in Brazil here. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're looking at. Acid mine drainage is toxic, and it will irreversibly pollute the Lake Superior and the Boundary Waters.
And how will it affect climate change?
Well, these mines are like a carbon bomb going off here. PolyMet, the operation of that would result in another 137, be the equivalent of having 137,000 additional cars on the road. Twin Metals would be the equivalent of having another 257,000 cars on the road. And that doesn't include the wetlands destruction that would happen as part of this. The wetlands that are by Twin Metals and PolyMet are peatlands. And these are the most sensitive, most ecologically effective and productive sort of wetlands. And they hold vast amounts of carbon. And so for PolyMet, you would destroy 900 acres of wetlands directly and indirectly impact about another 7,000 acres of wetlands. And so that's the equivalent of about 11 square miles, which is the equivalent of an area four times the size of downtown Minneapolis.
Wow.
would be destroyed by the wetlands would be destroyed by PolyMet.
Are these the wetlands where the rice is, like wild rice is grown?
Both.
Okay.
So this is part of these are at the headwaters of the St. Louis River estuary, and just downstream from that you have wild rice beds in the ceded territory, and then it continues down into the Fond du Lac Reservation. Mm-hmm. So what happens with this, with the sulfate, wild rice is very sensitive to sulfate in the water, and the acid mine drainage would destroy these wild rice beds, extending all the way 75 miles down to Lake Superior and the Fond du Lac Reservation.
That's
so
unbelievable.
So there's a huge impact on wild rice.
Yeah. What about wildlife? Any impact on wildlife?
This would have a tremendous impact on wildlife. With PolyMet, again, it's not just it's a hole in the ground that they're creating, and it's the big toxic lake here, but you're extending throughout a huge geographic area, and by fragmenting that that geography, you interrupt wildlife corridors for moose habitat, for the wolf range, and the water quality impact for anglers. This destroys fisheries and would have a huge negative impact on fishing in the area. Additionally, when you have the polluted water, it's harmful to waterfowl that use these waters.
Mm-hmm. What can people do? What can our listening audience do? And how could they help your organization?
Great. We could use your help right now. First, you can go to our website. Again, we are Friends of the Boundary Waters Wilderness, and our website is www.friends-bwca.org. Again, friends-bwca.org. And we are supporting legislation here in Minnesota called Prove It First. Prove It First is common sense legislation, and it would simply require this. It would require, before one of these mines, copper sulfide mines, could open in Minnesota, they would have to prove that it has been done safely elsewhere in the United States for at least 10 years, and that the mine has been closed for at least 10 years without causing water pollution. And if they can't do that, we don't want Minnesota to be the guinea pig for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need your help in contacting your legislators to ask them to support Prove It First. Right now, we have about 52 legislators in the Minnesota House that have supported Prove It First, but we are unable to get a hearing even in the Minnesota House that's controlled by the DFL. So we want a hearing before the House Environment and Natural Resources Committee. So if you would please contact Rick Hansen, the chair of that committee, and say, we want a hearing on Prove It First.
Mm-hmm. That's great. We're going to put that up on our Facebook page, and we also put it on our live feed so people will have that information. This was Chris Knopp from Friends of the Bounty Waters Wilderness. Thank you so much for being with us today, Chris. We really appreciate it.
That was awesome. We have that up there about the Boundary Waters. Ogama's put it up on her Facebook. I'd like to end with these thoughts, Wendy. I'm so happy you're back. That's the first thought. And the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We are the seventh generation. We're still here.
Free Leonard Peltier.